Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Full Patrol, Jesus 911. Two first responders, retired LA Deputy Sheriff, retired LA County Nurse. The Romeros, Jess and Anita, honey, we just came back from Holy Mass, so we're ready. We're ready to go.
Absolutely, we're ready. Good morning, listeners. It's such a pleasure to be here with you today.
Let's do a spiritual communion. A lot of people can't go to Mass right now around the country, and we prayed for California and everybody else that's shut down right now. We prayed that the bishops would open up the restrictions in your area. So we can get close to Jesus every single day by a spiritual communion prayer. This goes 500 years. I think it was Saint Alphonsus of Liguria that wrote this prayer. If you can't get to Mass, to say this prayer every day. So we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Jesus, I believe that thou art present in the most blessed sacrament. I love thee above all things, and I desire to possess thee within my soul. Since I am enabled now to receive thee sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace thee as being already there and unite myself wholly and entirely to thee. Amen. And let's also consecrate ourselves to Mary. Those are two prayers that drive the devil away from your presence. You drive him away from your house when you consecrate your day to Jesus and Mary. So let's do a consecration prayer to Our Lady as well. My queen, my mother, I give myself entirely to you and to show my devotion to you. I consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, most loving mother, as I am your own, keep me, defend me as your property and possession. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, I got some good news for you. For those of you Jesus 911 people, just so you know, this is what's going to be happening in the near future. Tuesdays and Thursdays will always be Ruben and myself. We'll be talking about what's called muscular Christianity on Jesus 911. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays in 2 weeks, what's going to be happening on Mondays, I'm going to have either Dan or Kyle with me, just like I used to have on Wednesdays. So Mondays is going to be, I'll be switching from Kyle 1 week, Dan the other week. You know, these are Father Ripperger's instructors on exorcism at the Liber Christo Institute. These guys are the top guys in the world on healing, deliverance, and exorcism. Okay. Now on Wednesdays, Jesus 911, that show's going to be just on Wednesdays. It's going to be replaced. We're going to call it something else. It's going to be called Liber Christo War College Situation Room. And we're going to have the three of us on Wednesdays, myself, Dan, and Kyle. With Father Ripperger is going to be making cameo appearances on Wednesdays only, okay, sporadically. But it will be that day will be all three of us, Dan, Kyle, myself, and we're going to call that Wednesdays only. It'll be called Liber Christo War College, and we're going to go more through strategies, concepts, conceptual, functional theology against the diabolical. But Mondays and Fridays, they will still be spiritual warfare through Jesus 911. Mondays, I'll be rotating between Dan and Kyle. And on Fridays, I'll have with me here the lovely Mrs. Romero.
And what a pleasure it is and a privilege to be on air and to be speaking with all you listeners.
Let's talk about the parallels between viruses and demons. I think you're going to be very interested And the information that we're going to share today, the parallels between viruses and demons. The coronavirus will either begin to slowly recede from blaring headlines or burst forth in new micro epidemics, depending on whether there are resurgences here and there. And of course, prayers needed, okay, to eradicate all this. We need God's grace. And that's why, by the way, Psalm 91, which is something that Terry and myself have been pushing, and it's just a prayer in my prayer book. It's a spiritual warfare prayer. It's a prayer to protect us against plagues and pestilences. So add Psalm 91 to your prayer list every single day as well. Now, the coronavirus is probably going to remain in the news in some form for many months, many years to come. And the question is it a prophetic warning? Will it morph into an actual chastisement? Might the way the coronavirus has but halted air travel be a fulfillment of predictions from many years ago in Spain that foresaw an event wherein planes suddenly froze in the air? Now, there's at least 68 Bible verses about plagues and pestilences. I went to do my homework yesterday to look at this in Scripture. The Bible does describe plagues and pestilences as manifestations of God's wrath, not only as his punishment, but as signs that, as symbols of his eternal anger against sin. And the Bible indicates that some instances of plagues and pestilences in history have been a punishment for sin. I mean, God sent pestilence to punish the Israelites for their ongoing idolatry and disobedience in Deuteronomy 32, verses 24, and in Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 22. And during the tribulation that will happen before the second coming of Christ, the Lord is going to send a pestilence to punish the unrepentant. Now, is this the tribulation? We don't know. We'll see. Pestilence is promised as part of God's final judgment on the world in Revelation chapter 18, verse 8. A pestilence is a deadly disaster, usually a disease, that affects an entire community. And a pestilence is contagious. It's virulent. It's devastating. For example, the Black Plague in Europe that killed over 30% of the population during the Middle Ages was a pestilence, and Jesus forewarned of pestilence when he described the end times in Luke chapter 21, verse 11. At the very least, what's happening right now is a dress rehearsal for the second coming of Christ. My wife is going to share to you the similarities between a virus and a demon. So we'll just give you kind of the overview from this article, and then we're going to get into it, the details of this article with our own reflections.
Okay, here we go. Where the contingent goes from here, there is as much to glean from it already. And in the realm of the spiritual warfare, there are many metaphors. So let's contemplate, for instance, how viruses are similar to evil spirits. Both are visible. Both are invisible. Both enter unseen, not noticed at first. Both grow, proliferate in us. What's proliferation? That means that it multiplies, it grows in us, okay, rapidly sometimes. Both can come from others. Both can also come from places. Both cause few or no issues with some, huge problems with others. Both aim for the breath of life. Both attack when we least expect them. Both look for weaknesses to enter, sin in which to grow. Both cause results in accordance with our immunity. Both are incurable by medical scientists. A virus can be treated, its effects are mitigated, but because unlike bacteria, it is technically a living thing. It cannot be destroyed by antibiotics. Both are thus half dead, animate and inanimate. A virus can be transmitted from animals. Demons are described as half human, half beast. Ugh. In Africa, a Protestant Christian pastor named Emmanuel Makandiwa foresaw that this epidemic, described it as a demon on a rampage. It will be cured only when God, not science, empowers something to eradicate it. If he wanted, God could so empower an aspirin. Viruses reoccur, as do demonic attacks, when we don't get to the root of the problem. Virus can cause also many physiological effects, so can evil spirits. Note how many different illnesses Jesus cured through his exorcisms. Both viruses and demons can affect the mind as well as the body. Both can be contagious. Both can cause spasms and seizures. Both can cause frothing at the mouth. Both find fertile birth in pagan lands. Both can be passed down through the generations, at least by way of genetic susceptibility. Both can leave a person quarantined, isolated. Both afflict the good and evil alike. Both are stealth. Demons operate through stealth. Both aim for the heart. A person can harbor a spirit but show no signs of it. what in virology is known as being asymptomatic. Both can infect entire societies. Both target and the old and infirm. Both concentrate in urban areas. Both look for sloth. Pride, weakness, the immune system. Prayer is like a face mask. Holy water is a sanitizer. Prevention is the best medicine.
So what we're talking about here, there's the similarities between demons and viruses. Demons and viruses. On the next two segments, we're going to go line by line and show you the similarities between demons and viruses. This is, again, this is kind of fascinating. Only the body is capable of being possessed. Of course, the soul continues to be free. Just we have to always keep that intention. You're listening to Jesus 911, two-man car, husband and wife team, Jess and Anita, two retired first responders, retired L.A. cop. My wife said retired L.A. nurse, worked the jail system for many years of her career. Both of us are madly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're both mama's boys and a mama girl. And we love Holy Mother, the church, and we're here to defend and protect and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in season and out of season. If you like what you hear, like us, subscribe to this show, and send it to people in your social media account. Call people up. We're going to get into the second and third segment, the similarities between demons and viruses. I think you're going to be really, really fascinated. Stick around. Don't turn that dial. It's going to get real.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on his word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. By the way, spiritual warfare is not just a man's thing. It's a male and female. If you're baptized, you're part of the church militant. You're part of God's army. And so don't think like, oh, I'm a female. This doesn't pertain to me. Absolutely pertains to everybody. We're fighting for our souls here in this short time that we're on planet Earth. By the way, my partner, Eddie Chavez, he's taking some time off. He's got some family responsibilities. He's taking a couple of weeks off. And so he probably should be back. We'll see. But in the meantime, I have my wife here, my best friend of 36 years. So, Anita, let's go and share with the audience the similarities, and we'll go line by line through this article, of the similarities between demons and viruses. I think it's fascinating myself. I'll throw the first one out there. Both demons and viruses, both of them are invisible. Both enter unseen, but noticed at first, and both can grow and proliferate in us. Here's my quick comment. A diabolically afflicted person can become more and more vexed, tormented, harassed, and annoyed by an evil spirit, and it can even become full possession. So there is a gradation of the way the demon is constantly imposing himself and pressing himself upon the person through vexation, through torment, through harassment, through annoyance, where it could become full possession. And again, same like a virus can organically grow.
Absolutely. Then we have our next one would be viruses. How are they similar to evil spirits? Both can come from others. In spiritual warfare, this is called demonic transference and soul ties. And you can experience that if you are in mortal sin and you're praying over someone. That's an example of demonic transference.
And soul ties, give you an example of soul tie. Is sleeping with somebody who's not your spouse, you're not sacramentally married to. Fornication, adultery, that can cause a soul tie. If that person's diabolically infested, or just the act of mortal sin causes a soul tie, you have to confess that. You need sacramental confession to break that soul tie. So, next one, both viruses and demons can also come from places. Yep, they can actually come from places. The famous exorcist, rest in peace, Father Gabriel Amorth, he used to say in all his lectures and his books, he says that one can become possessed by going to evil places. And that's what evil places is, what the catechism calls social structures of sin. I'll give you an example, okay, an evil place. A guy going to a gentleman's club where there's no gentleman, by the way. If you're there in mortal sin and watching nude people dancing, trust me, that place is just infested with demons. If you're in mortal sin, you're unprotected, you're going to walk out of that place and you're going to take home a demon. Yep, he's going to be attached to you. So it's absolutely categorically true that you can become diabolically afflicted by going to evil places.
Yeah, let's continue on with the similarities between the viruses and evil spirits. Both can cause few or no issues with some, huge problems with others. This tells us, yes, demons tempt everyone, but very, very few suffer full possession. So in other words, we can get, like, for example, this is the flu. The Wuhan virus that's occurring in our society is the flu. So we as people, because of the flu, we can overcome it. And that's what this is. And there's some that are tempted, and those that can cause full possession, the evil spirit.
Yeah, there's every one of us is tempted by demons. That's just the way they operate. It's called the ordinary activity of the diabolical. Everybody from Pope Francis all the way down is being tempted by demons constantly. They're constantly trying to press themselves against you through temptation. But then it can move into higher levels, and that's what we call oppression, obsession, highest level possession. And they even attack houses and toys and articles. That's called infestation. You have an entire genre of television programs of haunted houses and people going over there with cameras and stuff. We'll be addressing that, how wrong that is, why people shouldn't be going and hunting for ghosts with cameras and recorders and stuff. Those aren't sacramentals. They're not protected by the diabolical by doing that. But We'll do another show on that. Okay, both the similarities between a demon and a virus, both of them aim for the breath of life. Okay, a virus is obviously wants to take away your breath of life ultimately through death. And the demon's long-term goal is to torment you to the point where you give up your last breath of life to suicide. That's like the goal. That's the Super Bowl ring for a demon, is to cause a person to commit suicide. And trust me, right now, it's painful for me to admit this, but as I read law enforcement reports around the country, suicide and calls to, you know, these suicide hotlines because of depression and anxiety, they're up like 500%. And so again, this is a ripe environment for the diabolical to do his most effective work is when people are hopeless, they fall into despair, they're depressed. This is the easiest time for the demons to prey on people just like this.
Yeah, I want to add also, you know, since, you know, there's no masses, people are not receiving communion, many people are not receiving the sacraments. So there you go, we have a depravity of the sacraments, and people are not in a state of grace. And so that, because of that depravity, I think that contributes to the suicide, the increase in suicide. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because on planet Earth, most people don't realize the power that keeps the devil at bay and demons is the economy of grace. You'll hear Father Ripperger talk about this all the time, and Kyle and Dan. So what's the economy of grace? It's how grace flows in the world. It's through the sacraments of the Catholic Church. That's how God set up the economy of grace to flow into the world. The demon knows if you cut off the economy of grace, the sacraments, you're going to diminish the effect of the church against the diabolical. Thanks be to God, our priests, every priest that I know has been celebrating daily mass, at least on their own, maybe with a few people. And so the sacramental graces have not stopped, much like demons wanted to stop them, because priests are still doing the holy sacrifice of the mass every single day. They're just not doing it with a lot of people. But the next one is similarities between the demons and the viruses. Both attack when we least expect them. Demons are spiritual terrorists. They attack through deception, and they attack more at night, and even in your dreams, that's when you're most vulnerable. They don't play fair. You say, okay, I'm asleep. They're going to leave me alone right now. No, that's when they up the ante. And at night, they just feel more comfortable in the cloak of darkness, because hell is nothing but darkness. There is no light. Heaven is perpetual light. And so demons feel comfortable in the nighttime. They do not feel comfortable. That's why you won't see manifestations and stuff happening in the daytime. You'll see all this stuff, the preternatural activity, happening in the evening.
And that's where you say, I know some of you are familiar with this, the freaks come out at night. Yeah. There you go.
Song, yeah.
Yeah, there's that song, the freaks come out at night. That's what that is. Yeah, that they are. And as Christians, we need to protect ourselves before we go to bed. We got those exhumed Christian Orin prayers. You pray, put Gregorian chant on at night. If you feel uneasy, get up and pray Psalm 91. There's just so many things that you can do to protect yourself.
Yeah, and sacramentals.
Wear sacramentals and go to bed. So let's go. Let's go on to the next one. Let's see. Which one are we at? I lost my...
Okay.
Both look for weaknesses to enter sin in which we grow. So the demons enter through sin, and they remain through heresy. What is heresy? Heresy is anything that is anti-Catholic, anti-Christian. That's heresy, anti-God. Sin is also is the demon's basic tool. They can tempt and suggest that you go from venial sin to mortal sin, to the four sins that cry to heaven for the vengeance of God. This is what is meant by the demons. Militate to absurdity.
When Father Ripperger says the demons militate to absurdity, like my wife said, the demons are constantly pushing you pushing you to be to have a more disordered life. So first, like my wife said, maybe you fall into a venial sin. The demons are saying, not good enough. They keep pushing you, pushing you. Now you're in mortal sin from a certain venial sin. The demons say, it's not good enough. Like they keep pushing and pressing you, pushing you, till now you just get into, you know, what the church calls the four sins that cry to vengeance for God. And you look at yourself one morning in the mirror and you say, what am I doing? I'm killing myself. I'm destroying myself. That's what's meant when Father Ripperger says the demons militate against a person to absurdity. They push you to the point where once people are praying for you and you have this conversion, you say, what am I doing? You know, and you look at your present situation and you see your life disordered. You see your interior life disordered, your marriage disordered, your family life disordered, your physical fitness disordered, your eating habits. The demons will push you to absurdity. That's what that means. Another similarity between viruses and demons, another similarity, both can result in accordance with our immunity. In other words, our immunity in the interior life against the diabolical is to live a clean, ordered life. Much like, again, the big push, you know, wash your hands and stuff and, you know, make sure you're not touch, you know, if you touch something, maybe a restaurant table, so maybe sure you wash your hands and make sure everything, all the countertops are clean. Okay, that's, you want to stay immune from a virus. But that's not as important as a soul. Our immunity against the diabolical is not to wash our hands 20 times a day. It's to wash our soul. We have to live a clean, ordered life. And that's what we call living in a state of grace. Living in a state of grace. That means your life is clean. You're in a right relationship with God. That means your life is ordered. Demons fear a person that has a clean life. That means a clean soul and an ordered life. Demons are attracted to the unclean, an unclean soul, and somebody who lives a disordered life. You're listening to Jesus 911. This is a two-man car. This is the husband and wife team, Jess and Anita. We're talking about spiritual warfare, the similarities between viruses and demons, and we're giving you some Catholic intel, some Catholic briefing. You don't want to miss what's coming up. We're going to continue on this track. And then at the end, we're going to give you some good news about that. We'll be back. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show. and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Philip Patrol, Jesus 911, giving you guys some Catholic briefing. Man, guys and girls, everybody, men and women, we're all part of Team Jesus. We're all part of, the Virgin Most Powerful's team, the Virgin who's most powerful against the diabolical. This is Jess and Anita, husband and wife team. How long have you been married, Anita?
36 years, and this month we'll be married 37 on, I believe, Thursday, May 21st. That's our holy matrimony anniversary.
You know, it's funny. I'm like a typical guy. I have like half the Bible memorized, but I have to, hey, Anita, when were we married? And she has to tell me. And I know she doesn't, that doesn't impress her, saying, I can't believe you don't know when we got married. You don't know when the kids' birthdays are. I mean, I'm bad about the micro stuff, but when you ask me about, hey, what happened in salvation history, and I can tell you with specificity. How embarrassing. We're talking about the similarities between viruses and demons, so we're going to continue.
Okay, here we go. We continue. Both are incurable by medical scientists. But a virus can be treated. Its effects mitigated. But because, unlike bacteria, it is not technically a living thing. It cannot be destroyed by antibiotics. So that's what the demons do. Demons cannot be destroyed. They are pure spirits. Remember, they're preternatural spirits being. We will be battling demons for the rest of our life. Always remember that here on Earth. As long as we're alive, we're going to be doing that. The only antibiotic that drives them away and keeps them away are frequent reception of the sacraments and the daily rosary. So every day you make a decision, I'm going to follow you, Christ, or I'm going to follow you, you're going to follow the enemy. By default, if you don't follow Christ already there, you're following the enemy, which is Satan and his minions. So very important that every day you wake up and bless yourself. The similarities between the virus and the demons. Both are thus half dead, animate, and inanimate. A virus can be transmitted from animals. Demons are described as half human, half beast. I'm sure everybody's seen in the movies all these hideous creatures. Well, that's a demon. You know, you look at The Walking Dead, those are demons. So, Hollywood is doing a favor for all of us because it's giving us an idea what a demon looks like in reality. So so for those of you that don't know, that's, one of the...
Let me just mention one thing, Anita. When you read a lot of the writings of the saints that have seen hell, they'll tell you, like St. Catherine of Siena and many other saints that have seen hell, and they write about it because God has allowed them by a special grace to see hell. They all write exactly that the souls in hell have a half-human, half-beast-like features. And why would that be? Think about it. Because in this life, through mortal sin, through evil, they acted like beasts. And so God is such a loving father. God's going to give you what you want. So if you want to act like an animal and act like a beast, cut people's heads off, run brothels, use women, kill babies, you want to act like an animal, and you die in mortal sin without repenting, God will give you what you want. And your soul and even your body will be conformed as a half-human, half-beast in the next life. I'm not saying that because that's what I desire. I'm just telling you what the saints have revealed in private revelations that have been approved by the church. Anita, what about this Protestant Christian pastor?
Okay, I want to just mention one thing. On Wednesday, Dan Schneider was on with Jesse, and they mentioned custody of the eyes. And that's very important, because many times we look at movies and, you know, I think we're lopsided. We look more at the distortion, the evil, and we need to more focus on what's beauty, what's true, what's good, what's holy. And what's that? All the saints, our Lord, our Lady, every church architecture, that's what's going to lift our soul up. Those other things, that's why custody of the eyes is so important, that you take command of your senses. And this is what Dan and Jesse were talking on Wednesday. So those of you that didn't hear that show, I recommend that you listen to the podcast. It was so revealing on the importance of the custody of the eyes, and then how we need to redirect them, redirect our custody of our eyes towards our Lord and our Lady and the beauty of the Catholic Church. And then we're going to continue on the similarities between demons and viruses. So here we go. There's a Protestant pastor in Africa. His name is Emmanuel Makwandia. I did mention it at the beginning of the show. He foresaw this epidemic, described it as a demon and rampage. What else is there to add to that, yeah, right?
We know that ultimately it's any plague, pestilence, it's only going to be cured by God, not by science. You know, people think that science is the be all and the end all. No, God is the one that empowers science, and God is truth, and God it ultimately will eradicate what he wants to eradicate. I mean, God could use an aspirin to heal all of us right now from this. But from a Catholic perspective, you want to put this in your toolbox, your war bag, your gym bag, whatever you want to call it, your purse. Psalm 91 is the prayer that we should be praying every day. It's an exorcism prayer that was prayed by the Jews for 1,000 years before Christ. It's a Jewish exorcism prayer. But it also is a prayer where we're asking God to eradicate plagues and pestilence. Pestilence is exactly what this virus is. It's a pestilence. In fact, it's a beautiful psalm. I'll just read the first 7 verses, because that's the relevant part. It says, "You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shade or the shadow of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge and fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will rescue you from the fowler's snare, from the destroying plague." There you go. "He will shelter you with his pinions, and under his wings you may take refuge. And his faithfulness is a protecting shield." Verse 4, the Catholic Church has always said that under the shelter of God's wings, that's the cross. The church has always said this is the theology of the cross. And then verse 5, here it is. "You shall not fear the terror of the night," those are demons, "nor the arrow that flies by day." That's how demons attack. They throw arrows at you. Temptation, suggestion. Verse 6, "nor the pestilence," coronavirus, "that roams in darkness, nor the plague that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, near you it shall not come." Beautiful psalm. Pray it every day. Add it to your toolbox. It's an exorcism psalm. Pray it in the morning or in the evening, preferably in the evening. And it's also a prayer asking God to save us from plagues and pestilence. So let's continue on the similarities between viruses and demons.
Okay, let's continue. Here we go. The viruses, they reoccur as do demon attacks. When we don't get to the root of the problem, obviously. To be healed and liberated means to reorder the faculties that have been damaged by sin. Then we must reconcile with God and God the Father through Jesus Christ and his sacraments.
This is what Protestants don't have. I was on the phone with a Protestant the other day. He called me up and he was saying, "I'm possessed." And he gave me all kinds of reasons why he thought he was possessed. And I listened to him. And he was a Protestant. He goes, "I'm a born again Christian." I said, "Well, why don't you go to your pastor?" Okay. You know, and he prays for me, but the demon comes right back, like within a few days, a few hours, a week. And he goes, "Why is that?" You know what I told him? I said, "Because he's a fake pastor." He goes, "What?" I go, "Protestants have no authority. They don't have apostolic authority to drive out demons. He prays over you and makes you feel good. He's a fake pastor, and you're in a fake religion." I'm sorry for being so blunt. That's the apology. And I talked to him for about 30 minutes about power and authority. And he goes, "This all makes sense, Jess. This all makes sense. Wow." This is a lifelong Protestant. He goes, Well, I know what I have to do. I got to become a Catholic, right? Because I talked to him about the economy of grace. Demons, they flee the economy of grace, which are the sacraments. That's how you root out the diabolical, like my wife said. And so he goes, so I got to be a Catholic. I said, absolutely, you got to be a Catholic. He goes, okay, as soon as I get off the phone with you, he goes, I'm going to go to the nearest Catholic church and sign up for RCIA. I said, you don't need an exorcism. You need the sacraments. And so, again, I was kind of blunt, but no Protestant pastor has the power to drive out demons. They just don't. Now, they can, because they pray in the name of Jesus, there's going to be some effect because demons are going to react to the name of Jesus, but they can't close the door. In other words, the demons are going to come right back in a few hours, in a few days, in a few weeks. They're going to come back. Why? Because a Protestant pastor does not have the power to close the door. How do you close the door once the demons are driven out? To put the penitent, the person, in a state of sanctifying grace, to reorder their faculties, intellect, will, passions, to reorder their faculties that have been damaged by sin, like my wife said, and then to put them in a right relationship with God the Father through the sacraments. Protestants can't do that. Anita, next.
Yeah. Well, there's an example of truth. Here you're doing spiritual warfare when you are telling somebody the truth, because the demons don't want you to know the truth. And that's what Pontius Pilate said. He, you know, first he said, what is truth? He looked at Jesus in the face. What is truth? So he just looked at him and he knew what truth was at that point. So that's what we're doing. When you tell the truth, you're shooting your arrows in the air against them. So now you're wrapping up your bow. This is the truth. There you go. So let's go. Let's continue. What are the similarities between the viruses and the demons? Viruses can cause almost any physiological effects. That's changes in your body, right? So can the evil spirits. Just remember, note how many different illnesses Jesus cured through exorcism. And the definition of characteristic of or appropriate or an organism's healthy or normal functioning. So demons can cause physiological effects when they appropriate the human victim's senses and manifest in them.
Yeah, that's exactly what a demonic manifestation is. The demon appropriates the human's senses, limbs, and body parts and manifests through them. Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, husband and wife team, speaking the truth in charity. We'll be back. Don't change that dial.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation. According to St. Ephrem,
Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith, Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands On Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands On Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific, Hands On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation. According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Thank you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Hope Patrol, Jesus 911, husband and wife team. Hey, if you like what you hear, then go ahead and like us. Click on the subscribe button and share this with people in your social media. I think this is very important stuff. I'll be honest with you. This show, Jesus 911, is the most unique show in the country amongst Catholics. There's no other Catholic doing what we're doing here, trying to teach you about the diabolical. Let's just be honest. You don't even hear the word devil mentioned in most homilies. We're actually going into deep Catholic theology based on the teachings of the Catholic Church. We continue. Both viruses and demons can affect the mind as well as the body. That's called diabolical obsession.
And viruses and demons can be contagious. Okay, so Father Gabriel Morth, rest in peace, the exorcist of the Vatican, says a sure way to get diabolically afflicted is to hang out with evil people and evil places. Living in a state of mortal sin will attract the demon.
Both viruses and demons can cause spasms and seizures. In the spiritual warfare world, these are called diabolical manifestations, where the person loses temporary control of their body and limbs because the demon appropriates the senses.
Both viruses and demons can cause frothing at the mouth, another sign of demonic manifestation.
Both viruses and demons, their fertile birth is pagan lands. And what do I mean by that? You can see there's many cases where, you know, first of all, we know demons hover over lands, and that's one of the ways they hover in the air. They hover over lands just kind of like a drone, where pagan occult religions have practiced their cult. For example, something that's very common here in Arizona, there's a lot of demonic activity in Indian reservations. Why? Because of their long-standing cultic practices to the diabolical, whether they know it or not.
Yeah, their high rate of alcoholism is a testament to that. So here we go. Both viruses and demons can be passed down, at least by way of genetic susceptibility, through generations. Father Ripperger mentions that in he has a really awesome lecture on, and this that lecture is called The Generational Spirits. And he even has a YouTube video on that. You can look at that. It's awesome.
Both demons and viruses can leave a person quarantined or isolated. And that's the demon. That's one of their tactics. They like to get the person so depressed, so the person becomes isolated. The diabolically afflicted, they'll isolate themselves because of depression and anxiety. And this way, they fall into deeper and deeper depression, and ultimately, it can come to suicide. I've seen this several times in my life, but it always starts off with depression, isolation, and they're moving towards suicide.
If you want to, also Jesse's book, The Devil and City of Angels, he has a story of the story of Andy there. That's one example of this. So here we go. The similarities between the viruses and demons, both afflict the good and the evil alike. Just like the scripture says, it rains on both the good and the bad. And that's on. You can look up that scripture in Matthew 4:45. So just remember that the demons are just trying to rain on us. But what's your umbrella? The sacraments. The sacraments are your umbrella. Put up your umbrella and the evil will not rain on you.
Both viruses and demons are stealth, and demons operate through stealth. If there's a passage in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, where it shows that. It says this, quote, "If you act rightly, you will be accepted. But if not, sin lies in wait at the door. Its urge is for you, yet you can rule over it, close quote. So notice, in Genesis 4, 7, sin, which, by the way, that's one of the two weapons of the devil, sin and death. That's what he uses, sin and death. Those are his weapons, okay? He doesn't change his weapons. That's all he has, sin, death, eternal death, damnation. But in Genesis 4, 7, sin is described like a lion or a snake just lying in wait for its prey. Again, this is why I'm saying demons operate through stealth.
Okay, here we go. The similarities between the virus and demons, they both aim for the heart. Here in Scripture, Luke 22:3, it says, Then Satan entered into Judas, the one surnamed Iscariot, who was counted among the 12. Satan entered into his heart. Here's proof. In Matthew 15:19, it says, For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, unchastity, theft, false witness, blasphemy. So here's proof that Satan actually entered the heart of Judas.
And basically the heart is basically saying you're the soul, a faculty, a power, your ability to think, okay, rationally. The devil will disorder your intellect, and you'll think in a very disordered way, in a very sinful way. So he can disorder your intellect. How? Through your passions. He'll trigger your passions, and now your passions cloud your judgment. Next, a person, talking about demons and viruses, the similarities, a person can harbor a spirit but show no signs of it. What in virology is known as being asymptomatic. So normally, you can't see the demon in a person who's afflicted, just like you can't see a virus. The demon prefers to remain hidden.
And here we go. We continue the similarities between the virus and the demons. They can both infect entire societies. He infects societies by influencing politics, education, media, and culture. Wow, we know that, right?
Yeah, that's in basic in the Catechism, paragraph 407. Demons. That's why the demon affects us. Also, both demons and viruses both target the old and the infirm. In other words, demons target those that are worn out by a life of sin. That's what we mean by the old. You're just worn out by a life of sin. You're just an easy prey for the demon if you're not going back to Christ and the sacraments and Our Lady and the Rosary. And especially, demons attack those who are addicted to intoxication. It's impossible to pursue a life of living in a state of grace and a life of holiness, a life of virtue, if you're intoxicated all the time, if you have this addiction to alcohol or drugs or marijuana. People that live a life of intoxication are easy prey for the diabolical.
Also, both target the old and the infirm. Demons get those worn out by life of sin, and especially those who are addicted to intoxication. You already said that.
Yeah.
We covered that. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. So both concentrate in urban areas. Of course, yes, because there's more people. Los Angeles, New York. I mean, Chicago. I mean, you could just name many urban areas, especially more young people who are secular and living sinful lives. Admit it. You get a lot of people going to Hollywood because they want an acting career, and there's many people that, you know, sell their soul to do that. But there are more businesses, which are social structures of sin. Therefore, it is easier to diabolically afflict more people in the urban areas.
Both viruses and demons look for sloth. Remember, demons are attracted to laziness. They like disorder. They like laziness. And by the way, this is one of the seven deadly sins. And also pride. Pride weakens the immune system. You know, if you're proud, you're going to say, I'm not going to go back to Mass. I'm not going back to the sacraments. That's for kids. That's for babies. Nah. You know, again, that pride attracts demons. And again, pride and sloth are one of the seven deadly sins.
And then we're going to go on to something a little bit more positive. You know, what helps us to fight against viruses and the demons? Okay, well, prayer. Prayer is like a mask. Everybody's recommended to use masks as you go to the grocery store. And then, so that's what prayer does. It's like a mask. A prayer has an offensive nature and a defensive nature.
Here's the last one before we wrap it up. Holy water. Holy water is like the sanitizer. You know the way everybody keeps using sanitizers right now? Restaurants everywhere. Holy water is a sanitizer. Here's a story from St. Teresa of Avila, a doctor of the church, taken from the 31st chapter of her autobiography. Here's what she says about the power of holy water. Quote, I was once in an oratory, and the devil appeared to me in an abominable form at my left side. Because he spoke to me, I looked particularly at his mouth, which was most frightening. It seemed that a great flame, all bright without shadow, came forth from his body. He told me in a terrifying way that I had really freed myself from his hands, but that he would catch me with them again. I was struck with great fear and blessed myself as best I could. He disappeared, but returned right away. This happened to me twice. I didn't know what to do. There was some holy water there, and I threw it in that direction. The devil never returned again. I often experience that there is nothing the devils flee from more without returning than holy water. Keep holy water in your house. Keep holy water in your bedroom. And just douse your bedroom in your house sporadically every couple of days. Because remember, holy water is a powerful sacramental given to us by a doctor of the church. Anita, but what's the best prevention?
Okay. So what's the prevention, everybody? Drum roll. Every exorcist who has written on the topic of demonic possession says that the best way is to what? Live in a state of grace, in friendship with God. You just never know. We need to live in a state of grace. Put your umbrella up, okay?
Finally, what about immunity? How do you stay immune from the diabolical? It comes from pervading your home with prayer. We got to turn our homes into domestic churches where prayer is being projected from our soul, out of our mouth and mind, into the cosmos, like holy fireworks, at least three times a day, as the Bible says. And included in that prayer, make sure you're praying the daily rosary, the daily rosary. And you got to do all these things. You have to do it with love, because the demons fear love. They fear love. 1 Peter 4:8, the Bible says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. So every time you think of someone, pray for that person instead of just thinking, you know, often negatively about that person. In that way, you stave off the enemy of his time. In other words, don't allow negative, detracting thoughts pervade your mind, because the evil one wants to use your tongue to detract and curse people, but use your tongue as a weapon to bless those who curse you and pray for your enemies. And remember, prayer sets up a defensive perimeter around you and your domestic church. That's a wrap, Anita.
Yes, it is. Just remember, if you want to review all these, just go to the website, jesseromero.com, Virgin Most Powerful, the articles posted, so then you can review them and share them with everybody.
If you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, share this show with others. Remember, we're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Up next, Gary Matuta, Hands-On Apologetics. The Black Belt of Catholic Apologetics, coming from the Midwest Command Center. We'll see you next time. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.